all that I can be. And maybe one day God will show me what I need right now.
Aloha, I am your host, May Leilani, and this is the Universal Spiritual Connection, a place of shared unity and equal common ground for all peoples and cultures, a unity not built on separation and blindness, but a solid foundation built on respect for all walks of life, molded by the thirst of the people for change, in unity bridging the gap. For we are the voice of we the people. Mahalo to all the listeners of Pal Talk and BBSRadio.com. Our call-in numbers are toll-free 888-228-4494 and 877-489-6350. Our direct lines is same area code 530-776-5185 and 876-9916. As many of you are very familiar with, you have been long-term listeners of the Universal Spiritual Connection. Many of you have participated and witnessed and assisted together in unity, launching off many shows that were very important in the support of all our sisters and brothers worldwide. We've had many great minds, such as Steve Bassett, speaking to all of us about the truth embargo, Richard Boylan, the four secret governments, Dr. Sala, capitalizing on technology that has been shared with humanity for the personal gain of a selected few on this planet, Dr. Stranges, a former CIA of 35 years that worked hand-in-hand personally at the Pentagon with our celestial sisters and brothers and still today has direct communication with each of with these celestial beings. Many of you witnessed on live camera Captain Thor actually materializing as we were broadcasting that show, and many of us actually had the opportunity to actually witness that. We've also supported Steve Bassett in the launching off Facts to Washington. We will all this year witness, later in this year, witness that truth embargo being truly exposed and released to the general public. I want to personally thank each and every one of you for your courage, your strength, and understanding and knowing that there was truth out there, that it was important not for each of us individually to understand, but that the truth, everyone on this planet deserved to know that truth. Tonight, I'm about to introduce you to another great mind, a man that has dedicated his life to bring forth truth to all of us worldwide. And I'd like to share some really incredible information about our guest this evening. His name is Wilbert Allen. He is a UFO researcher, inventor, engineer, director of photographic special effects for motion pictures and 3D game development, using ETC-TB-MP UFO color. And without further delay, let's all please give Will a warm welcome to the show. Aloha, Will.
Hello there. How are you?
I am great. I'm so thrilled to have you on the show with us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
I also understand, Will, that you are a former Air Force One engineer.
Yes, I was.
Would you please tonight share a little bit about that experience with all of us? I am just fascinated that I had the honor and the pleasure not only to speak with you, but to have you with us on tonight's show.
I was a independent contractor, and I was hired through ABC News to work the White House, Air Force One, the Capitol, all of the areas of power where most news and news information would pass and would be assimilated through the TV news companies. And that's how I got onto Air Force One and in the White House.
Wow, that's awesome. That's so incredible. Well, it's truly an honor to have known that about you. If someone had told me, I would have met someone that was directly involved with the Air Force One. I would have said, yeah, right, sure. But here we are today. I also wanted to remind all of you listeners this evening to please go and explore the wealth of information that I have about Wilbur Allen's work. I have many links up there, 7 to be exact, for your convenience in Pal Talk. We are posting continuously throughout this broadcast all 7 links. I'd like to encourage all of you. It is going to be mind-blowing to all of you. You are going to see pictures, real pictures, that Will has documented. So talk to us a little bit, Will, about these pictures that you have actually taken.
Well, I got to first start with the beginning. And I come from a U.S. Air Force family. My father was in the Air Force, and I lived on bases around the world. And at a base in England called Scunthorpe, which was right out of Rendlesham, as a child, I was visited by a group of greys in silver spacesuits, and they came into my room, and man, they scared the hell out of me. I have never seen anything like that in my life, but these visits would continue throughout this day, and it wasn't until recently that I was able to obtain the technology to be able to document these visits and incursions that I've been so fortunate to experience.
Yes, and you know, it's really interesting because, as you and I both know, we have reports from people from all over the world. So could you share a little bit deeper on your experience, and why were you having these visitations by them, and what was the message that they were hoping to convey to you?
I am not really certain of the message, but I do know that from each visit, it seemed that I would have knowledge on technology that I was completely uneducated in. For example, a few years ago, was able to come up with a procedure which involved chemistry and the integration of microwaves in the development of film. And in doing so, I generated a technology that enables me to essentially image photographs at night in full color. Unlike standard night vision technology, these full color samples were exceptional in the fact that they would also include things that weren't necessarily seen by the eye, and those things would be UFOs and unidentified flying objects that were within the range of the camera during the time of the exposures.
I have found your photographs are just fascinating. And, you know, a lot of the photographs you've actually taken, I've been able to see those things with my own physical eyes. But let me ask you this, with this technology that you have been given and been able to utilize, how is that going to pave our near future and the evolution of humanity?
Well, I'm really not certain as to how to actually answer that, other than it allows for the flexibility of seeing things that are not necessarily registered by the human eye. And, you know, we're living in a world where what we consider as relative and reality is things that we can see and hear and taste and smell and feel, while in the reality of the matter, it goes beyond that, and there are things we cannot see, cannot taste, cannot hear, and cannot smell. And those elements of those things that we do not understand and do not see are those elements that we should pay attention to, because those things that we do not see are those things that we should at least put some study to in a sense that, for example, recently NASA confirmed the possibility that there exists life forms without physical bodies, or what is called non-corporeal. And that within itself is theoretical by all definition, but in reality it does exist. This technology just allows us to see that possibility. And I've sampled a lot of very unusual things.
I know you have. Well, you know what's really interesting is in January of the January the 20th, I had a scientific researcher, Leo Kim, on the show with us, and he's got like 50 different patents and so forth. And it was a very empowering and insightful show where he was actually letting us know that scientists today actually do know that we have multi-dimensions. They also have been able to see and measure the dark masses within our own universe down to the truth about individuals' DNAs, and that some of our DNA, that some people here on the planet actually have extra DNA, which they have correlated with being celestial. What are your thoughts on that? Have you talked to these individuals where science is finally coming to that realization of exposing that truth to all of us?
I think that, first of all, that there are flaws in the theories of evolution, and that, well, for example, there has never been a link between ape and man. Other than there are similar characteristics in the DNA, there is no direct link that would firmly suggest that man and ape are the same. And when you look at how man just all of a sudden evolves and the Neanderthal disappears, then you start to wonder, well, where did this man come from, and how is it he evolved differently than the rest of the indigenous life forms that were here during the time of evolution? So if you think of such, it would only be logical that humans are essentially implants from another technology, another civilization, from some other part of space.
Yes, I agree, absolutely. Well, you know, it's really interesting because what I have done, everyone, is I have posted a picture that Will has taken of the White House and the actual. I'd really like to encourage all of you to go and really take a look at this picture. Will, if you would bring us all up to speed, the significance of this picture that you have taken and why it's so important to all of us.
The one sample taken there in the White House is extremely important in the sense that it shows this orange anomaly, or a series of orange anomalies. One of them appears to be powered down, but it's also in motion alongside of this thing. But prior to taking the sample at the White House, in Baltimore, Maryland, on Reisterstown Road, I, along with 18 other individuals, witnessed a blue, turquoise blue object, possibly the size of a watermelon, fly by and land in the trees. And as it landed in the trees, it completely vanished. And in sampling the object in the area where it vanished, I photographed in the trees this orange and turquoise sphere. They were both sitting there, and they were in the trees roosting. What was interesting about that particular sample is that other people in other parts of the country also witnessed the same thing in the same time frame as the time that I took these photographs. After I photographed the object in Baltimore, and I have it in the trees, I have it taking off, it flies to Vienna, Virginia, which is approximately 75 miles from my location, in under 2 minutes, which indicated that this object was hitting at least 600 miles an hour to go from Baltimore to Virginia in such a short period of time. As it flew from Baltimore to Virginia, it did the exact same thing in terms of landing in the trees, bobbing around in the trees like an insect with insectoid characteristics, and then flying off. all while being witnessed by other people on the ground. So we have physical and forensic documentation of a particular anomaly. And in the sense that what makes this sample even more extraordinary is that these objects were imaged in 1080i HD high definition.
And what does that mean exactly, Will, if you could maybe
break that down for us? It is state-of-the-art camera technology. It is camera technology that was specifically designed for spacecraft applications by Nikon. It is the Nikon D700 and the Nikon D3X cameras. They are extraordinary camera technology. They can take pictures anywhere under any light condition. And with that technology, it's imperative that with those certain types of incursions that I've been experiencing, that I would have the technology to document them. My first documentation on film at the U.S. Capitol was questioned by so many people, but yet those people who questioned the samples were unable to tell me how I was able to generate a light source that was impervious to analysis. So as long as I'm able to substantiate the fact that whatever these anomalous objects are that I photograph are incapable of analysis using conventional technologies such as Adobe CS4 or Autodesk Combustion 4.5.4, and 3D Max 9, 32-bit, and 64-bit technology, and Avid technology, all these technologies out there that are designed for visual analysis, when you introduce light sources that are not within the operational procedure of that program, it won't parse them. So what we have here are objects that are not of consistent light sources, and they are usually within ranges that would make them almost impossible to generate fictitiously. In fact, it is impossible to fictitiously generate the objects that I photographed on film and in HD 1080i.
Well, that's very obvious just by observing the pictures. You know, I've done
exactly. But you still have to deal with certain individuals that are bent. And I hate to say this, but most people who look at this material, first of all, because it's so abstract and in your face, they think automatically that it's fictitiously generated. It would serve me no purpose to fictitiously generate a sample and make a presentation of that sample for any kind of gain. At some point, some person would recognize that that was fictitiously generated me and expose me as a fraud. So I would serve no purpose to take a photograph and put it out there and make claims of this object or photograph that would not be suitable to the actual presentation itself.
Mm-hmm. You bet. I mean, that's just basic common sense.
Absolutely.
You know, we do have
most
those individuals.
Like
that's
that,
their
though.
Job is to attempt to mislead us, as you know, with this has been going on for eons of time. But the doors are shutting on them, aren't they, Will?
Well, you see, their attempts only draw attention to the fact that these people know absolutely nothing about what they're talking about. And when you look at these people, they pull up front there, and I have to say, one of the people I was totally disappointed with was Bill Nye, the science guy. For a person to be so scientific and to be so closed-minded actually contradicted the fact of what he's trying to perpetrate in terms of his persona as a person that debunks and knows everything about science.
Oh, well, come on now, Will. You know that we have those people that get locked up in a box. They can't seem to break out of that little box of that comfort zone.
Most people need to have their psychological and emotional disposition assessed by people in the mental health industry because, therefore, we have people who are not open to the realities of the matter. And the realities of the matter are there are more things going on than meets the eye, and that is a literal statement.
Yes. I do know. You know, I had my first encounter in Hawaii. That's where I was born and raised. And it was absolutely amazing. Of course, you know, it hit all the newspapers and, you know, there was these sightings all over the world. And it was amazing because this ship actually hovered over me and actually sent me telepathic communications that I was okay, that they weren't there to create any harm to me whatsoever. And, of course, they shared a lot more information with me. And ever since then, I've been really blessed to have so many opportunities to actually interact with them.
Well, some people are blessed in that you were privy to see something that very few will ever get to see and experience. And some of us can go even further and make claims of actual physical contact with these greys or whoever these entities may be, as I have as a child when I was on this base in England. And when I made contact with these entities, I'm sure they implanted me with something, because to this day, cannot explain to you why I have, for example, and you can see through my photographic evidence, these up-close and in-your-face samples. What would that indicate to you? Why would these objects all of a sudden fly from across the galaxy and land directly in front of me to take a picture? How is that possible?
That's right. Well, you know, it's really interesting. Not only have I had that opportunity, but I have firsthand seen actual implants that have been implanted in other people.
Well, you know, some of those implants serve a purpose,
yes,
not just for tracking, but I know that which is in me right now, it has a very unusual effect on certain electronic devices. I know I can go places and make things turn off or turn on, like streetlights or whatever the case may be. But I also know that it may be a possible transponder, in a sense that it is the only logical explanation as to why a particular anomaly, or any anomaly in general, would fly and land in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
Other than it is not an act of God, it is not a something that I was born with, or anything that was genetically part of my lineage from my mother or my father. All of a sudden, now here I have the direct contact with extraterrestrials. And not extraterrestrials as you would think. I'm talking about entities without bodies, spirits as they would call them, in spacecraft the size of garden peas.
Yes. You bet. And I understand that perfectly, and I would say 99% of the listeners understand perfectly what you're sharing with all of us. I'd like to go back real quick, if we may, to the picture you had taken of the White House. And, you know, one of the shows that I had done was based on the Da Vinci Code, a documentary that had been put out. This was an older documentary that I had the opportunity to really dive into. But what they were showing is where, you know, the White House and a lot of the, even the Pentagon and some of the churches were actually built on the actual ley lines that were directly connected with the extraterrestrial. Now, many of us have heard, you know, such people as Steve Baskett and Richard Boling come on to the show, even with Dr. Strange's saying that, you know, being a CIA agent working at the Pentagon with these extraterrestrial beings and them sharing that technology back and forth with our own government and other governments as well. What are your thoughts on the direct locations of these buildings, and why would that be?
Well, first of all, Washington, D.C. was designed by a Mason, and you have to look at the Masonic rules and regulations, so to speak. My father was a Mason. He was very secretive about it, so I really can't speak of it because I don't know that much of it. Other than a Mason designed Washington, D.C., and in some of the Masonic drawings that are in the Masonic Bible, for example, it would show a human and some glowing entity conversing and exchanging ideas. And what makes that graphic so unique is that the objects or entities I photographed at the U.S. Capitol building were exactly the same as the graphics depicted in a Masonic Bible, which shows a man interacting with a superior being, a superhuman, or I would say superhuman, an extraterrestrial.
I agree. You know, I have actually seen pictures of the first contact of the Terrestrials meeting with the governments, you know, the four secret governments, and, you know, them coming in peace and goodwill to share technology so that we all here on this planet would have a better life filled with peace and joy and a life without dis-ease as well. And I know that with Richard, he shared with us is that they took this information and utilized it for their own personal gain and over the people. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I think it's funny when it's fine to talk about Obi-Wan Kenobi and Aliens versus Predator or The Day the Earth Stood Still. It's fine to talk about when it's a movie, but when you start presenting real facts, it's a no-go. You can't talk about the realities. You can't talk about the real deal. You can't show them the real pictures, but it's fine to show the fictitious. So it's almost like they want you to know, but hey, they don't want you to have the full picture. They want it to be more like make-believe and, you know, go to Disney or wherever and get a La La Land opinion of it, when in reality it's completely different.
Yes. Yes, it is. Well, you know, and I've had the opportunity to actually see a lot of these things with my own eyes. Why? I can't tell you why. Is it because I may have extra DNA or I'm part celestial? I don't know. But I know that I have seen them firsthand. Does it matter what some of few have to say that I'm a nutcase? Well, I wear it proudly. And I really...
But, you know, it's funny with those few that say that, though, it's the effect that they have on others. And it's not really, it's not a stigma on us, but these are weak-minded people, and a weak-minded person is very difficult to convince. Once they're convinced you're a nutcase, you will always be a nutcase.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Well, if that makes me one, then, well, I guess you've got to put those shoes on too, huh?
Well, I'm wearing the cowboy specials.
I had to throw some humor in there. I truly did. For those who are just tuning in, we have the honor to have Wilbert Allen with us tonight, and he is a UFO researcher, inventor, engineer, director of photograph special effects for motion pictures and 3D game development using ET, CTV, MP, UFO color. For your convenience, I'd like to encourage each of you to my show page with BBS Radio. I have a wealth of information. There's some great links there for all of you to explore. You guys have got to see these pictures. For you listeners in Pal Talk, we are posting continuously these links as well for all of you. And if you would like to speak to Will personally and share your own thoughts or questions, please feel free to do so. Our toll-free number is 888-228-4494 or 877-489-6350. So, Will, you have also made a movie. Would you share your thoughts on your movie that you have produced?
I took all of the samples that I physically photographed myself and made a film which shows the connection between all of the objects and locations in which I took these photographs. And what makes this really unusual is it could almost be a film that would be generated by George Lucas and Steven Spielberg in terms of effects, but they weren't involved in the special effects. All of these visual effects were generated by these objects that were in the frame at the time of the exposure.
Yes. Well, you know, it's really interesting because getting to Lucas, I understand that a lot of, as he produced that movie, Star Wars, there were many hidden, well, not necessarily hidden, but encodements throughout the movie is to help awaken and propel humanity to that greater understanding that there were other life forces. Were you familiar with this?
I first, when I worked in motion pictures, I worked with a few people of interest back in the day, and two of those people, one of them was Ann Spielberg, which is Steven's sister, and the other is Russell Williams, who got the Academy Award for Glory, Dances with Wolves, and a few other
yes.
films along the way.
Yes.
And in working with Ann, for example, Steven was in production with Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and at that time, I invented this machine, which I called RMOS, which was reverse micropics. And reverse micropics essentially was a camera that would photograph microscopic objects and make them microscopic objects look like full-scale visual effects for something that could possibly use be used in a motion picture. Well, in doing so, I showed Anne some effects, and as I forgot about showing her these effects and Close Encounters came out, I noticed that a lot of the effects in Close Encounters were very similar to those effects that I generated using this RMOS machine. For me, I know about the entertainment industry and how it's very hard to have an idea or a product that's secure, essentially, because a lot of people in entertainment steal ideas from other people, and once you steal an idea, there's no way technically to protect it or prove that you generated that idea in the beginning, so I had to let it go. And I didn't have the money to deal with George Lucas and Steven Spielberg in the possibility that my materials were infringed upon in the copyright. So I'd let that aspect of that go. But with the photographs that I was able to get with these new UFO samples, one of the things I was able to do was sample these UFOs and generate gradient color samples, which I don't know if you're familiar with the way they generate special effects for motion pictures, but they utilize programs like 3D Maya to generate these 3D objects for these visual effects. So these 3D objects must use paints. So what better paints to use than actual paints that came off an actual UFO versus the embedded swatch profiles, which, you know, most colors are, you know, the standard RGB, CMYK that are, standard colors in any program. But these objects, not being of a standard light source, generated non-standard colors. So I was able to generate a color library, which is the extraterrestrial color texture bitmap application for 3D and 3D game development. So it's not like anything George Lucas or Steven Spielberg have. This is completely unique material. And UFODC.com is the only company that has this material.
I can see all these doors opening up, Will. I mean, you have opened so many doors of opportunity with your invention. I'm going to keep a sharp eye on you.
Absolutely. I still have to deal with certain things, like I'm dealing right now with an infringement of a copyright in England, and this infringement is one of the samples, one of the first samples generated by my RMOS machine, and for some reason, the British seem to think it's in public domain, and I own copyrights to it. So I've got to deal with that, and I've got to see how the United States judicial system in terms of intellectual properties is protected with regards to violations in foreign countries that are allies to the United States.
Mm-hmm. That's going to work out in your favor, by the way, Will.
I know it will. I know it will, because I got the certificate from the Copyright Office. The people would be totally naive to not accept it as a valid authentication of ownership for a copyright. So there's issues you have to deal with here, and the thing with these UFO colors especially, for those people who, and I've had a few people who tried to steal them, it's easy to identify something that has a marker in it. These colors are completely unique. They come from UFOs. They do not respond like conventional colors. I can find them. If you use them, you'll get caught. So it's not like, you can do what you want. I want people to actually go out there and take the stuff, because at some point they will have to pay me.
Well, and the bigger picture too, Will, is that what you're capturing is what our world eventually will look like in those high vibrant frequency colors that you are capturing. Our world will look like that. But we have a caller, Will, and I'd like to invite Chance from Texas to the Universal Spiritual Connection. Aloha, Chance.
Hello. I just have a series of questions I wanted to ask, probably bring forth. Will, what percentage of these sightings, these UFO sightings, are actual, genuine extraterrestrial beings visiting us? And how much is our government, how much is a part of our government's agenda to use these UFOs?
I've got to say that those objects that I photographed, it is a physical impossibility for those objects to be anything that we could possibly think of in terms of technological advancement. I've never seen anything, and believe me, I lived on military bases, United States Air Force bases, for 25 years in state-of-the-art combat technology. I've seen it all. I've never seen objects like what I've been photographing in the Washington, D.C., Baltimore area. I've never seen anything like that before, and it is a very remote possibility that there's no chance on Earth that there's government involvement with these visits. These things are purely extraterrestrial.
Wow. Were we able to answer all your questions, Chance?
It's possible, too, that, you know, and as we were speaking of earlier, that these could be objects from within our world, but within our world in another dimension. So there's that possibility also. There's just too many possibilities, but for the sake of argument, I've got to say that the technology that I photograph definitely is not human origin at all.
That's fascinating. And another question, have you ever heard of an integral fast reactor?
No.
You haven't?
No.
And have you ever heard of using the use of boron as an energy source?
No, I'm not. I'm not familiar with that at all. And I've got to say that we've got to look at other energy sources in terms of fuel for propulsion. For example, I know for a fact that the objects I photographed at the U.S. Capitol building, for example, they were plasmoid. And that plasma itself is a form of energy that has very unusual characteristics, but this plasma had a physical structure and a shape associated to it. And that within itself would have to be at a nuclear level that's way beyond anything that we've got, especially to be able to alter its physical structure and dematerialize and then rematerialize. It's like nothing we've ever seen before, and there's no way on Earth that our level of technology is capable of generating that type of object. There's no way.
We're at a type zero civilization. We're burning fossil fuels to get our energy.
We're at the point where
we can extract the energy from the vacuum, you know, bending space-time and extracting that energy. Have you ever heard of the work of Tom Bearden and John Bedini?
No. I don't spend a lot of my time doing outside research in terms of those objects that I photograph, because I have to look at certain things at a more scientific sense. For example, if I photograph something, I'm going to analyze it, and I'm going to look at it with all of the technology that I have that's at my disposal. If it doesn't meet the criteria of the programs themselves, then I could only form but certain conclusions that they're outside the box or outside the limit of the software. So with that in mind, and I'm considering CS4 Photoshop, for example, extremely advanced, it still can't parse an unknown light source as a UFO. It can't deal with it because it's not a known light source that's within the program's operational procedure.
Oh,
so, when it comes to these UFO anomalies, I can't answer a lot of questions, man. I
appreciate that. And that's all I got. So, thanks for having me on.
Hey,
thank
you're welcome.
You,
I'm sorry, Chance. I didn't really go all the way with it, man.
Great questions,
and there are going to be some answers I cannot possibly answer. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I know it all about UFOs. All I can tell you is what I've taken pictures of and what I've experienced. In terms of the actual technology itself, I'm not extraterrestrial. I cannot answer those questions.
Thank you, Chance. It's been a real honor. You've very powerful questions and thoughts that you have shared with us tonight. So I personally wanted to thank you. Be well. I'd like to touch very quickly as well, Will, if we may, is I know that you have a partnership with National Geographic. Share a bit about your work with them as also.
Well, I'm a professional photographer and have been doing professional photography, God, since 1980. And, I worked, extensively with Nikon in Japan and Nikon World Magazine with some of my samples, which utilized Nikon technology, and I would share my expertise with Nikon, and Nikon would further that expertise by incorporating certain elements of what I do into their technology. And very few people have the ability or even understand the actual art of photography. And I started taking pictures in the sixth grade. I was trained in development of film at Clark Air Force Base in the Philippines at a film lab that was run by the Central Intelligence Agency. And they shared their technology with two little kids who infiltrated the base's perimeter to get into this lab and to see what was going on inside there. And they taught me exactly what was going on inside there. And I took that information and incorporated it into what I do photographically. And what I do photographically is what one would consider fine arts photography, and hence is my connection with National Geographic.
Yes. And I have to tell you, your photographs are amazing to me, and I went 3 or 4 times just to study them, and you're doing it well, and I want to thank you for your service, because as you and I both know, it just leads to one thing after another, and it benefits all of us with what
you're
doing.
Well, you know, I can only take a photograph, and I take what's presented in front of me. What's presented in front of me is another question. If I'm capable of answering what those objects are or defining what those objects are with a knowledge of actual knowing what they are, that's one thing, but I can't. Because, first of all, I'm a human that just has a special skill, and that skill is I can take a picture. So I've taken some pictures, and I've presented these pictures. How the person that reacts, that sees these pictures, that's another thing. And, you know, it all boils down to credibility. And when you look at a person's credibility, if I've taken a picture of something and it shows obviously that there's something there that shouldn't be there or it doesn't match the definition of what we would consider normal, then why would you question the credibility of the person taking the picture versus the sample itself?
We do have a question presented for you, Will, and it's from Dream Chaser. And he says, do you think these aliens or whatever are targeting specific individuals or types of individuals, or are these random contacts?
I believe that they're specific individuals. I can't explain why these people came to me. I call them people, the little grays, because they look like giants to me when I was 5 years old. Why they came to me at Gulfthorpe, can't explain why they came to me at McGuire Air Force Base 4 years later in New Jersey, nor can I explain how I was able to get the samples at the U.S. Capitol building. So they specifically have certain people in mind, and I know my first encounter with them was frightful, but now that I see every time I come in contact with these things, there's nothing violent or dangerous feeling about them at all. And basically, I feel like they want me to take these pictures to show people that they are here.
Yes, I agree. I really agree with that because I've had visitations from them as well. And they are. They're gentle beings. They truly are. And it's time for all of us to be comfortable and, you know, with the acceptance that we do have them around us. If you would touch on, because you've done a lot of work with sci-fi as well, can you share some of the work that you're doing with sci-fi?
Well, we've got a show coming out. It's called First Contact. It's our answer to UFO hunters, which it's a great concept, but you know, honestly, God, you're so lame, you know, and I hate to be opinionated, but when you start dealing with subject matter like here and you're dealing with facts, don't be a person that says, okay, you've got the answers as to what they are, because we don't. We're human. So I'm not going to approach this show from a human standpoint. I basically am going to show the facts and show how that they are not consistent with objects that we would normally see or photograph on an everyday basis. So First Contact is the next thing for those people who are interested in UFO information and UFO stories and profiles. First Contact is going to be it. And Stanton Friedman, Richard Dolan, and a few other people are involved on this. We've got some heavyweight people in on this project.
Yes, and there's, you know, of course, Wendell Stevens. I mean,
Peter Robbins, everybody. We've got the big boys.
Yeah, and I've just about had them all either on the show or sat down and interviewed them and taken pictures with them. And, you know, every year, because I've been a great supporter to the Paradigm.
Ilani, I had them eating out of my hand.
I bet you did.
They've never seen anything like this before. These samples are probably the best samples in the world.
Yeah, because I know these guys. I've been a huge supporter. This show's had the opportunity to launch many things in behalf of the work that they're doing, and it's been quite amazing. But we are getting close to having to say goodnight to each other. It's been a true honor, Will. I hope that you will come back and share more of your thoughts with us.
I certainly will. I want everyone to take a chance and really, really take a good look at UFODC.com. And then there's my partner's website at unicusmagazine.com. And Robert Stanley, who wrote the book, Close Encounters in Capitol Hill, did a great job documenting other reports of objects in the same area and in the same time frame as the objects I took pictures of in 2002. So it's definitely worth looking into. And I wanted to tell people to keep their eyes open because things are about to happen, and you're going to start seeing some more abstract stuff.
Oh, yes, Will. I'm actually quite aware of that. And so, you know, talk to him. See if you guys can get send me that book in my direction, and let's get a show together and do that. Maybe we'll even invite some of the other guys like Steve and Richard and Dr. Strange.
Yeah, we're talking about people here who are serious about UFO research and UFO disclosure, not people who, you know, and I hate to say it again, and I'm not going to use this constantly as reference, but UFO hunters, they're showing information, but it's not substantial. It's no real definition in showing blobs of light. I mean, I want to see some real stuff here. And my photographs show the exact things, what was happening, not some blobs of light.
That's right.
I have the best sample, so, I mean, proof's in the pudding.
That's right. You bet it is, and I stand firm in your words, what you just said, because this is what this show is all about. Do you have any last-minute words that you would like to share with the listeners before we say goodnight?
Well, I would like to tell each and every one of you to, at some point or another, keep a camera with you. Keep your eyes open, and things that you would think are out of place or don't seem right, take a picture of it. Because, you know, a UFO is not going to be a huge flying saucer. There are UFOs out there the size of garden peas. So just keep your eyes open. It's an absolutely strange world.
Excellent. And if you'd like to share those photographs with me, just email me, send me an attached email, and I'll get those pictures posted so that we can share them with everyone worldwide. Thank you, Will. It has been a true honor. Let's talk. Keep in touch with me. I'm going to be keeping a sharp eye on you, and I honor the work you're doing.
Please do. Contact, for another show. I'd like to talk more, because if you want to talk about strangeness, I have some very strange things to show you.
You got a date, young man. You have got a date. I just want to remind all our listeners, the time has arrived. Welcome to the Aquarius Age. As our lunar eclipse unfolds, we will be embarking on the Aquarius Age. It will bring forth and anchor onto our planet peace, love, prosperity for everyone worldwide. I love you all. God bless to each and every one of you. Good night, Will, and good night to all of you.
Later.
Maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly? I've always heard that mirrors never lie.